We've just listened to Gavin Saad present a marvellous presentation on his company, his group, Kuuki, which I'll let him explain to you. The meaning of that is from Japanese. But essentially, I think most of us in the room have come out wanting one of the objects that he's just demonstrated to us. Gavin, Kuuki, first of all, what's that all about and what are you on about in Kuuki?
So Kuuki is an artist collective started by Priscilla Brax and myself. Kuuki is a Japanese word which normally means atmosphere or air. However, we like one of the colloquial meanings, that is, it's the things we take for granted but can't live without.
Okay.
So we're about making interactive experiences that look at those things in our world that we take for granted but can't live without. So some of the works, like one of our initial works, Disco Puppy, looks at the sort of joy and playful nature of experience in space. We have Charmed, which looks at the way our urban environments are being eroded and are becoming less than friendly. Distracted, which looks at the way climate change is encountered in our world and the fact that while we may be hearing a lot about it, we're only experiencing it principally via a screen and we don't encounter the raw scientific data, mm-hmm. for example, the ice core samples. And the final one, the Lyrebird, is a work about the way sonic pollution impacts on the natural world.
Okay, now of course all of these things could be created using other media, but you choose digital technologies and you choose... you've deliberately chosen what I suppose might be called installations where people can establish a relationship with the art object. I think that was fascinating. If we could just jump to maybe the last object, the Lyrebird, the interactive Lyrebird, which I think everyone wants for Christmas, but they're not for sale, but they should be. Just talk a little bit about the way people react to the found art object in a space and how you set that up to get the optimal interaction.
Well, with the Lyrebird, I think the initial idea for the way people engage with it, the fact that it sort of mimics the colour of their clothes on its plumage, came out from a very simple test, which we call it the sort of squeal factor. It was something that would be joyful. People would go, ooh, and get a bit of a kick out of. And in many ways, most of the projects sort of happen before we think about them. So the Lyrebird is like that, and you know, even that selecting the Lyrebird has a whole array of rich connections to our world, which we weren't really thinking about when we first came up with this idea of something that mimicked us visually in a space.
Because it would be very exotic for people. You exhibited it in Northern Ireland.
We exhibited in Northern Ireland, which was interesting because the Lyrebird was one of the sort of signature birds of Australia, painted by John Gould in Birds of Australia, and was often used to represent the royal family at the time.
Okay.
And we're in Belfast, which is still scarred by the Troubles. So we sort of found that there was this sort of odd connection there between the fact that we were looking at something that was really the sort of colonial representation of Australian wildlife, principally for a European audience and market to make the Australian colonies more palatable or shape them in a way that they could understand. And here we were in Belfast, which is still struggling with that.
Absolutely, yes.
That part of that history.
Fascinating. I must say I wondered that you hadn't chosen a chameleon, but hearing you speak, you know, about the way that the Lyrebird is a sort of almost a talismanic object in Australia, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's something that hides away, it's secretive. I found it really interesting that you said it doesn't like lots of people around it, but it gets nervous. And at that point, I think I tweeted something up. It's becoming the relationship is almost becoming personal with the art object, which I think is something that the digital art forms that you're working on have potential.
We sort of went from the Disco Puppy work, which is big screens, a big space, to things that were quite small and intimate.
We've only got a couple of seconds left.
So there was that view that we wanted to move to things that are small, intimate experiences instead of the large, and that's where our next project, which will be a continuation of the Lyrebird project, will be is small specimens that are similar mutant electronic hybrid species.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks very much, Gavin. All the best. And do consider commercialising the Lyrebird, won't you?
Yeah, thank you.
That'll be online in about 15 minutes by the
I should think 30 seconds.